right? Okay. All commissioners present, we'll open with the prayer, with a prayer and the pledge, if everybody stand. For those that haven't heard, Steve Willoughby's dad was killed yesterday in a car accident at the radio station. Most everybody knows him through the station or personally, so we'll hold that family up. So let's pray. Father, we bow before you and bring the Willoughby family to you, Father, as they need your comfort and your strength and direction. Pray, God, that your hand would rest on them and take care of them through this tough time. Father, we also pray for the business that is before us here at the county, that you would guide us and lead us in our decisions and our words, our thoughts. And also, Father, we once again pray for our nation, for those that serve us in military and leadership in all ways, God, that your hand would be on us. Grant us your mercy, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome our Forsyth Mayor, Ron Potter. Welcome today. Glad to have you. All right. Next on our agenda is previous meeting minutes. We've got 8:27, 8:30, and 9:01. Questions or comments?
No issues. Motion to approve 8:27, 8:30, and 9:01 minutes.
Second.
I've got an issue.
Okay.
I'd made a motion somewhere on the 30th about the payroll and didn't get a second. My question is, are we posting motions that don't get seconds in a regular minute? I called Christy and wasn't just real solid on what we...
I don't think we've ever made a decision on that, have we?
He's talking in regular session.
What have we done in the past?
Whatever you want, what's required of votes, motions with votes. So if you want to include the motions, that's up to you.
Okay.
I'm indifferent.
It doesn't make me any difference either on that. If it wasn't in there, and you want to put it in there, well.
On the regular sessions, that's
fine. It's not a big deal one way or another of having that in there, but I do think we need to be consistent and have an idea of what we're supposed to, right, what we want the clerk to record, right, whether they want.
And it may have been a misunderstanding on their part with the talk about the executive session minutes, so it could have been that she didn't understand that part of it, but that this on the regular maintenance broadcast, I don't see that it can't be in there.
It can be in there. It's fine.
So what we want to do, I mean, that we just feel like we need to make a decision.
That's fine.
Okay.
Is it in there now?
No, but okay. I can ask that to be added.
Which one was that for?
On 8:30, motion to... I can give her a copy.
That's right. Let me just amend my motion to approve 8:27 and 9:01.
And I'll second that. Okay. Amend my second.
Okay.
And that way you can get it. We can see what it looks like.
All right. Sounds good. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Accounts payable. Questions, comments, motion.
Motion to approve accounts payable.
Second.
I didn't see any transfers or anything, so.
Pretty small stack this morning,
right,
compared to sometimes. All right. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Didn't see any journal entries or transfers. All right. Ready for public comment then.
Don Earhart.
Don Earhart. Welcome, Don. Come on up to the mic. Give us your name, please, for the record.
Thank you, gentlemen, for hearing me. My name is Don Earhart, and I live in Taney County, the Eastern District. And the land I will be talking about is located within eyeshot of Kazee Mills. This land is approximately 17 acres, and 1,000 feet plus or minus runs along Highway 160. This land is not in a highly populated area, and most of it is gentle sloping and contains trees and scrub brush. I've been in engineering for many of my young years and know how projects built on ground unsuitable for projects can sometimes may cost skyrocket. I therefore set about clearing about 5 acres to see if it was if I was making a mistake in even considering a mobile home park. The land is zoned agricultural by the assessor, or at least on my tax statement. I assume trees and grass was included in the term agricultural. I was on the very last half acre in clearing this land when a member of your planning and zoning showed up. He was shaking his hand at me and accusing me of clearing land without a permit. My land, again, is zoned agricultural, and therefore it can be cleared since I sold trees on it about 5 years ago. The trees I had left on the land are, like I said, brush and blackjack. Farmers that grow corn, wheat, beans, etc., can clear their crops without a permit, so in reasoning, I should be offered the same latitude in clearing bad trees. I told your employee to get off my land. He left, but not before threatening to turn me into the Department of Natural Resources. He made good on his threat, and now I have to go before the department staff on September 14th of this year at the Southwest Regional Office and probably be ticketed. In talking with their Mr. Charles Greason about the permit, he informed me the law, which they have on their books, is only used when someone complains. Otherwise, people can clear land as they wish. Your employee complained. That is why I'm being put through this ordeal. They're requiring a $300 application fee, of which I personally won't pay. If you want to pay this fee, then make a $300 check payable to the Department of Natural Resources, and I will fill the form out and make sure you get copies. I am complaining about this employee and one possibly in your sewer department. They are putting their noses into my personal business. This county should not tolerate employees that go beyond this county's codes, regulations, and restrictions. I suspect what they are doing is discriminatory also, and it could call for a lawsuit, and I'm not opposed to that, as you know. As a Taney County tax-paying citizen, I am asking for the dismissal of your planning and zoning person or an apology plus the fee I am to fill out. We hire you gentlemen to be wise, and I am sure this will be resolved in a noble manner.
Okay. I think most are aware we're not posted to discuss this under public comment. I'm looking for direction of the commission, what y'all would like to do.
I'd like more details, obviously. There's a personnel we can fall under within Bob's session at around...
Y'all can talk to planning and zoning. I mean, it's not appropriate to...
Not right now.
Because somebody brings it up in public comment. It's understandable that he has a concern, and you guys need to address any concerns, but I'd talk to planning and zoning and maybe take it up if it's a personnel issue and executive.
That's my recommendation.
Yeah, I don't have any of the details. I'd like to. I mean, I want to know the specifics. Do we want to try to do it today, or are we going to try to get it the first available schedule?
Do you have personnel
first available schedule? I mean, you guys need to come up to speed on this.
Okay. Don came to me. How long ago, Don, when this issue started and told me your story?
Probably 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. Others haven't heard?
Yeah, I have.
You have heard?
Yes.
But it's not posted by the commission. If it were posted by the commission, we could take it up today in the executive.
Okay. I think we've heard you clearly.
Spoke
very well, and we'll address it.
We'll post something.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. All right. Others, public comment?
Ron Potter.
Ron. Again, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thought I'd take a few minutes of your time to kind of explain some of the conversation that has been going on in the city regarding the possibility of a swimming pool.
Okay.
So I thought I'd give you a little background and kind of where we're headed on this. Is over the past year, I've had one or two people ask until this last heat wave, and I would guess somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 people have stopped me in restaurants, stores, and even pumping gas, asking for a swimming pool in the city. Now, we're not in the position where we can just go out and do this. We've just cut our budget by 10% this year to deal with the decline in sales tax revenues. But I was up in the Rolla area doing some due diligence on another project we're working with. And I was in the town of Steelville, and they had a nice little swimming pool and park and all that. And so I was talking with the mayor and the city clerk, and I asked, well, how did you, they're $1,400, how did you come up with the money to do this? And they said the citizens formed a committee, they all got together, they raised the money, not a tax dollar was spent on it, they bought the land and they built the swimming pool. They agreed to a tax levy to fund the ongoing operation of the pool, and so they did it themselves. So I have a public hearing scheduled for the 16th at 7 o'clock at City Hall, and we're going to talk about it and see if there's enough people with interest to go up and do that. From talking to Steelville and Cuba, the pool's going to probably run us about $225,000 to $250,000, plus the land. And personally, I would like to see, if they're going to do that, I'd like to see the pool up in this area, up on top of the bluff, so we can avoid the Shadow Rock flooding issues. And I think Aremus would be a little far for kids to ride their bikes to get to the pool. But, ongoing, it's about $75,000 to $100,000 a year to run the pool. So that's what we're looking at, and we're early on in the discussions, but just wanted you gentlemen to be aware that we are going to ask the citizens to come together and talk and see if we can get a committee together and maybe have a swimming pool here sometime next year.
Sounds good.
Great.
Question to Ron?
Ron, have you visited with Mr. Houseman on the grant process where you own property? The possibilities are, and I know that you guys have been through grants that have involved MoDOT and other entities. Have you visited with him about where you own your own property, about a storm shelter, a pool area type situation?
Well, there's not enough land on the land we own behind City Hall for both.
I was thinking about, and I know you didn't want to go that route, but I was thinking about the property that you have on the O'Rema side. Is there any options of trade value for property that might be in town or something? But I just was wanting to know if you had checked with Mr. Houseman, who takes care of those major grants.
Okay, I have not talked directly with him. He had, in the past, had put me together with someone at the USDA, and I talked to him. There's a possibility of a 25% grant that we could get to subsidize the pool. The average median income in the city is above their threshold, so the best we can get is 25%. So 75%. Would have to be raised.
And your hearing's the 16th?
Yes.
7 o'clock?
Thursday night, 7 o'clock mm-hmm. at right. City Hall. It's a week from Thursday.
Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Okay.
And if you want to come on down and join the discussion, it'd be appreciated.
All right. Sounds okay. Good. All right. Well, thanks for coming and letting us know what's going on. Other public comment? That it? All right. We'll move on to new and old business. First item is park board appointment.
I put that on there. Tom Lankus has been a park board member for the period of time that we've had the park board organized, and he resigned and sent a letter of resignation in. And I posted that last week so that we could have a time to consider people. You've heard me discuss before that I would like to have someone that's on the fair board as an appointee. I went through, and there's lots of people out there that are interested in and qualified to be on the board, but I would like to make a recommendation that we appoint Randy Lumley to the park board. He's a member of the fair board also, and Randy's got a good head on his shoulders and would do us a good job. But I'd be open to any other suggestions or recommendations.
I know Randy, and he'd be a great guy, hard worker, and very diligent, I know, on the fair board. First thing pops in my mind as you're talking, Danny, is should we not, we've been criticized for this in the past, should we not let the public know that we've got a vacancy?
That would be fine with me. There has been, probably 10 or 12 people that have contacted me that said they would be of interest, but only did I know of Randy that was on the fair board that was of interest, and that's where I would have liked to seen us head in that direction to get a couple of members that were on the fair board. And if you want to advertise it, that's fine, but they're needing that to have their quorum for their park board. I think we've got one person that is ill, or maybe a couple that are ill right now, and so they're needing to for us to make an appointment. And
when do they meet next?
It's the fourth Thursday.
Right. So we have at least fourth Thursday would be the 23rd.
So this is whatever you guys say.
You mentioned quorum, like there's a need there.
Yes, there's a definite need there. They had just four last time, and one of those people, I think, had to be called to come and had other plans, but they came just to go ahead and fill because they had some business that they needed to take care of. So,
okay. Where do we want to go?
Well, do you want to post it? Do you want to just vote, or what do we want to do?
Personally, I feel like we ought to put it out there. Okay.
We have a little bit of time. We can probably do maybe a press release, maybe a letter to the editor. I don't know if it's something. We normally have a paid-for advertisement in the paper, so maybe we can do it from a letter to the editor or a press release, and they'll cover it for anybody interested in serving.
And that's fine with me. You know, I'm always open for that. Unless there's another fair board member comes along, I'm probably going to be leaning the same way that I am now, but that's fine.
Do you know when you'd want to post this? Is there plenty of time for the 23rd?
Well, next, we actually have two. We have the 13th, which is next Monday, or the 20th. That doesn't give the person appointed very much time to plan for it, but we have two more Mondays available. So, we could post it and say, turn in your request or your application by the 17th, and we can vote on the 20th, but we can't go past the 20th.
Could we get some coverage from the news media on that and have them write a little story about the...
We can always ask. What we'll do is we'll have Nikki send a little press release request to the two papers and see if we can't hit. I think one deadline is this Wednesday. I think one paper can make it this Wednesday, and the other ones will make it for sure the weekend. So
this week kind of throws it off. It's going
it
to have to be next week, or
we can write something that way. Yeah, it's a 4-year term, things like that, where they meet, when they meet. Those are things we could put in the press release that we're looking for a board position.
Be a good opportunity to let folks out there know we've got a park board.
Yep.
Something so. To post it the 20th, then? Is that what you're saying?
The 20th, we've got two Mondays. We can do it the 13th. The 13th is really not enough time, so we'll have to do the 20th.
Sounds good to me. That good?
Found me?
Nobody's hollering no, so
20th.
We'll post it on.
Sure.
Any questions, comments?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks for bringing it up, Danny. Next, we've got state reimbursement. I think, James, did you put that on?
I come before you gentlemen this morning with the last two or three weeks being kind of controversial on the assessment process. I wanted to make sure that this panel of gentlemen up here knew that I did receive reimbursement from the state. This was handled through Jack Goodman, and it was a process that if the assessment process was terribly wrong or discredited, as you well know from past history of Taney County, we wouldn't receive this reimbursement. And kind of stems back to the proper assessment of an airport, airport road. And asked last week by the presiding commissioner, did I not properly assess the airport road and was Hollister School? Now, I'm not quoting word for word, but I just quote, I won't say he quoted. This was his general trend of talk, that I should be doing my job and assessing it properly if it was private and getting Hollister School some money, which tended to go back to the week before or 2 weeks before of the assessor not assessing the airport correctly and costing the schools money and the newspapers and stuff. But in this process, and I did my research, I found no road to be purchased by the county, that everything referred to last week is in this document recorded in the recorder's office as that being a public roadway easement. And I'm going to read the description here. The aggregate of the original Branton Creek Boulevard property, the SID-TDD road property, and the TDD airport road property is collectively referred to in this agreement as the Branton Creek Boulevard, which includes the entire road, according to my mapping department. So then I get over here to Jay. The parties desire to ensure that the Branton Creek Boulevard property extending from the airport property on the south to Maple Street and U.S. Highway 65 on the north and west will serve as a public roadway, including vehicular and pedestrian access, traffic, and use, for the benefit of the property within the SID district and the property within the TDD district, parentheses, including the airport property, and for the benefit of the general public. Now, I've been in the assessor's office some time, and when there's documents like this, meaning that's a public road, answer to your question, Mr. Pennell, is no, Hollister School will receive no funding on a public road. So that was back to substantiate that the mappers and everyone in the assessor's office had tried to do their job properly. So like I say, we received the reimbursement for doing our job properly. We've received it now for a year and a half or 2 years, whenever the court case was over. So the declaration of certain individuals that the assessor's office is not doing their job properly isn't driving home to the state, or we would not have received that reimbursement. Thank you.
Any questions, James?
No, I'd like to thank Mr. Goodman. I know that he took a real interest in getting us the funding on this reimbursement this time, and I'd like to send out either a letter of appreciation or something to him for helping in this difficult process for them, seems to be, but I appreciate it.
I was curious about that. Why was Senator Goodman involved? I mean, was there a problem of getting our reimbursement?
No, there was not a problem in receiving it. Statewide, they had never reimbursed any other county. And Mr. Goodman was asked to make a call and see what the holdup was, and they assured him the checks was in the mail the next day. And from the time frame of when they assured Mr. Goodman the checks was in the mail the next day, they were received here by our treasurer. And so he made the calls to see why, if we were in Taney County has never received a non-compliance order of being wrong on their assessment process up to this point, and
so they hadn't mailed them out to any counties, and after Goodman called, they sent them to all the counties.
They started flowing to every county.
Okay, so there wasn't any issue that we've had in the past about, as you mentioned, non-compliance or anything like that.
Right.
Nobody had received payment. And Jack went to work on that.
Jack did a wonderful job of seeing that the state's end of this was carried out.
Okay, while you're
we have someone in the audience.
Bob?
Where's the amount of the check?
Yeah, around $89,000, I believe, Bob. I can't quote the numbers. The treasurer will have that number.
It's okay, it's close.
Yeah. And reimbursements, that is for your payroll, correct?
That's for work done in that quarter.
Yep. You brought up the airport road, which
yes.
I had made a note to ask the question later on where we stood on, I guess it was last Monday, we approved a letter, a support letter, for this $2 million of funding that is available through MoDOT for purchase of the road. And I guess one question I had was, what document are you reading? Were you reading from, James?
This is a document up in the recorder's office. Says Branson Creek Boulevard public roadway easement declaration and agreement. And that's
we're posted for the airport issue, but I can explain later, but we're posted for state reimbursement, not for the airport issue.
Well, the reason it's brought up is because of the actual publicity the assessor received for not doing the assessment process correctly to the Hollister schools over the last month, and it wasn't a very pleasant atmosphere that these declarations was made toward the assessor that he wasn't properly assessing property. If he wasn't properly assessing property, he wouldn't have received his reimbursement from the state under the state guidelines. So that's why the airport road came up. And then ask, I believe I was asked, I'd have to go back and listen, about why I wasn't assessing that airport road as private property last week. Well, I don't know where all these documents are in my head. I'd like to be that intelligent, but I don't have a file cabinet up there. But I went back and got this document that my mappers had, and it shows it's already a public road. But I think the general public, if something was for purchase for $2 million, they might want their share of that $2 million. I think there's 40,000 people in here. It'd be a $500 check to all general public when you sell a public road. I don't believe it can be done.
So, Mr. Paulson, your recommendation is for us not to ask that question or talk about it?
Well, I mean, we can talk about it another time, but I mean, when you post something that's called state reimbursement, you start talking about the airport road, it's kind of a bait and switch, I think.
Okay. All right. From leading of our council, we'll talk about that issue later if that's agreeable with the commission. No complaints? All right. Next, we've got FEMA cost reimbursement. And I'm the one to put that on the agenda, I think. Did you give copies to Jim?
I picked up a copy.
Okay. The reason I put that on the agenda is we've discussed this, two or three times. on Mr. Dalton and the trouble he's had of getting a Loma, and not knowing, but I found out this morning that he did get approval, and Eddie's brought us documents on that. My first issue, and we can go ahead and hear about that since it's worked out that way, my issue was that James had suggested a motion a week or two ago, lost track of time, that we reimburse Mr. Dalton for his cost in getting his property straightened out with FEMA. And then just after that, Danny made that motion, and it did not get a second. My comment then was that we had numerous other properties that were in similar situations, and if we were going to approve Mr. Dalton's, we needed to look at all of them. So Eddie's provided a list there, and I don't know, shall we hear what Eddie's got on the Dalton property exactly, or?
Real quickly, I can tell you that on Friday, and you have a copy of this, that we did receive the letter from FEMA concerning this particular property that had been removed from the FEMA floodplain for the structure, not the whole property, but the structure. During this time period since we were before you last with this issue, Mr. Dalton has been in our office and on several different issues, but looking at how many properties that have gotten a Loma required, there were in what's called unnumbered A zones where no base flood elevation is established. Pretty big request he made, and so I said, you know, if you're going to want us to do all the research on that, you'll need to do a PSR request on that, public service request. But come into the office and we'll open up our books and everything and help you with whatever we can, let you look. So he did come in and spend some time doing that. I don't know. I was out of the office most of that day when he was there, but I don't know exactly what he found. But I did, when seeing this was coming up on the agenda for this morning, did spend some time Friday running through our reports there. On the very last sheet of the packet that I gave you, that is the list of the Lomas. And I believe there's 58 Lomas in Taney County that have been issued since that I have a copy of, since the floodplain started. And out of that 58, I believe there's 38 on that sheet that were Lomas that were granted in unnumbered A zones. Now, if there was people that applied for Lomas and didn't get them, I don't have any copy of that. Everything I have in my book is a granted Loma. There were several requests at that particular time. There was question about forms being outdated and different things like that. And I spoke directly with the caseworker from Mr. Dalton and some different people, and they change their forms when they choose to change their forms. They update them on the internet, and they send out no notification on that. But they said, we really don't care if you're using a 2005 form, a 2009 form, a 2010 form. They said, we approve different people like that. And we did go back into, I think, 8 of the 10 Lomas that were approved this year and did find evidence that they had approved some on the old forms and some on the new forms, just depending. I did question whether new forms were requested. The caseworker said, to her knowledge, no new forms had been requested. They should have been, because we'd passed the 90-day threshold for this application, and we're due to having to be sent back so many times for errors. But to make a long story short, it did come through. It was quite an ordeal for Mr. Dalton, but I did want you to have, you know, the understanding that it's not unique. It is more the norm than the unique being in an unnumbered A zone to get that.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie.
I've got something to say there.
Go for it.
This will be brought up at our quarterly, our six-month commission meeting. And I think Mr. Dalton's complaint was about the fact that he had been turned down because he had the wrong form. And is the way I understood it, and the cost. I don't think these 58 people had received $1,200 to $1,500 worth of cost, or they'd have been in here talking to us also, or would have contacted your office about it. So I think that we don't want to get that confused, that we've got 38 that are in A zones, as you're calling. I guess that's what you're terming.
I'm number A zones,
yes,
sir.
Yes. So those people didn't have a $1,500 cost, or if they did, they assumed that that was okay or could afford to pay it. I think Mr. Dalton's complaint was legitimate, that I don't know that it had anything to do. It might have been between him and his surveyor, but it, the posting of the wrong time frame on the document was one excuse that he was given, that he had to go back even after the things were turned in. Was a legitimate complaint brought to the commission that we can take forward to all the other Southwest Missouri, and it'll end up, I imagine, at MAC at our meeting in February. This problem that exists in the state, and whenever it is brought up there, then the power of numbers and the people that are involved will make a correction. And it would have been interesting to know that if of these 38 people, if any of them had a, I think he said 685 and 7 something. It was, one of them was just a few dollars difference in the other, and I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but one of them was just a few dollars difference. So if that be a problem with all of our citizens that lay within the floodplain, and then have to pay the extra on flood insurance on something trying to prove himself not to be in there, I mean, that turns into real dollars. I mean, the $1,500 turns into $3,000 right quick. So I think it's a legitimate concern. It's something that I know that I'll be bringing forward, and I hope Mr. Strophas sits on the MAC executive boards, the important people. So I'm going to be having him bring that forward to their boards and see if we can't get this thing straightened out for all the citizens, not only in Taney County, but in the state.
If I can make one more statement to you guys, so just to have a full picture here. In reading over Mr. Dalton's LOMA pretty carefully, it does make a statement in there that I think on the second page of that doc, maybe after the letter, but that our Taney County is, of course, under study for new FEMA flood maps, and y'all are aware that that's happening. It does also state that once these new maps go into place, they do supersede these LOMAs and everything. So we'll need to check these LOMAs again to make sure that when those maps come out, that they haven't contradicted, because new flood maps do supersede everything that has been granted up to this point. So be aware of that also.
And those new maps are supposed to come out October.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because they're old maps. They've got two sets of maps that show Mr. Dalton's property on one side of the creek on one map, and on the other side of the creek, which also involves a county road, which shows it on one side of a creek on their map, and then on the other side of the creek on the other map.
The old maps, you couldn't even really locate hardly anything.
So there is a big problem here.
Yeah, there is.
We hope to get it settled if we get as the commissioners do on different issues, and I'm not sure that we won't be doing that at the state level, but our state people need to take responsibility and help us out on this. But we have went to the Capitol on different issues, and this is an issue that will be brought up probably in one of her resolutions or something.
Okay. Sherry, come up to the mic, please.
I was just wondering if those maps would be published in the newspaper, or will there be some kind of an access to the general public on this? As a real estate agent, I'm really interested in the FEMA maps. It may include some of my properties. I need to know where that's at. There's a lot of other people within the county that would have reason to have one of those maps or be able to at least see one of the maps. Will that be made public?
I have a little bit of information. The first draft, the first draft of maps we'll see is, they said originally September when they came and presented to us about 6 months ago. It'll probably be October when we get the first draft, and they'll be posting. The agency that was hired by FEMA will have public hearings here to review the maps. So there'll be multiple hearings, public hearings here to see it, and then at that point, then we'll have a final draft, and then we get to approve it. So,
will notice of that be put in the newspaper?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll know as soon as we get some dates. We'll be reminding people too, because we'll post it also.
Okay. Thank you.
When they're all done, will they be available on the internet, or is
we
that...
currently administer 50 different. Maps for Taney County, just in the unincorporated areas of Taney County. So to actually print these maps and put them in the newspaper is not going to be something. We keep a set on hand. They'll give us a proof set usually to have for people to look at. But once they become official, and they may have another site for this before that, you can go to the website, type in an address, and it will bring up that particular map. Right. So they can be viewed electronically. But I don't think... we don't have them as a county on our website. I don't know if that's a possibility, but FEMA does have theirs on the website where you can get them, just pretty quickly, and they keep those updated.
The biggest thing is they're digitizing the map, so that's they'll have it online once it's finalized. So we'll be able to pull it up electronically.
Yeah. One thing I was wondering about is, as we sell our plat books, and I don't know whether I'm sure that real estate people have our regular plat books with showing the different ones, and if I remember right, there is an elevation figure on the plat books if you have a ravined area or something like that. Am I right in that? I haven't looked at one for 6 months or so. I have one. I know that Gary has brought them forward to us, but I believe there's an elevation, not particular.
Not a topo map.
No, but there's if you have a home in there and it'll have a figure beside it with an elevation, I believe there is.
I don't remember seeing that, but
like I said, it's been a while since I looked at that, but I'm wondering if that be the case, that if we couldn't have that on a elevation.
The FEMA provides an overlay that we can access from them that we give to our IS department, and they can then access, I'm assuming, because they made me a list of all the properties in the floodplain. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that they can put some kind of notation by that you need to check this properties, the properties in the floodplain or the structures is, or whatever the case mm-hmm. might be. I'm sure that could be added on as a layer. But all that information that we do have right now will change in October when they come out with this new data. So I'm hoping at that same time that they will have this electronic overlay for us to put into place to generate a list of people that need to be contacted at the very least to say, there's been change in the flood maps here and you need to realize that your property is shown in or whatever so that they can have the opportunity to review.
It's a nice, our plat books are extremely nice, mm-hmm. and Gary's done a good job with it, and he came to the commission wanting to know, he brought the cost of putting the book together, and I think it's a great thing for the citizens if they have any property around the county to have one of those plat books so that they can see different things that are actually in the plat book. And Gary brought that to us last year and we approved it. If we have to add things to it to make it more efficient, well, I'm all for it.
Our IS department has done a great job with the county website, and you can go and pull up parcels and everybody around you, and there's a lot of information there too. So a lot of people are accessing that electronically. So,
yeah.
Sherry's got another question or a comment.
I am wondering where the research area of this would come. Would it come through the county or would it come through FEMA? I'm thinking about a scenario that I've had happen in the past where a bank funded a property and they required FEMA insurance on the home, and yet the home was not in the FEMA area. So I'm wondering where we can pull research for that should something like that come up with a property.
Help us answer if you could, Eddie.
If I've got your question about Ms. Velcamp, you have a piece of property that probably touches the floodplain, but the structure itself is outside of the area. What we were told in our meeting about 6 months ago with our new maps, with the detail that's on there, if you were to come to our office and we would roll out the panel for you, that at that particular time with the new maps, if clearly that structure does not touch the floodplain area at all, that we can circle that, make a firm ad of it, and I think I've made one of those for you once before,
yeah.
And we can circle that. We can write on there a statement out as shown and send that to them, whereas right now they will not accept a letter from my office at all. They have their forms and everything. What happens is when somebody is refinancing a home or puts some kind of financial encumbrance on the home, the lending institute goes to a corporation or different what they call determination companies who pull up the map just like I would on the FEMA website. And if that property shows to be touching the floodplain area at all, they consider the whole property to be in the floodplain. Consequently, this is the exact same situation we're talking about with Mr. Dalton.
Yes,
his property does go down and touch the creek or whatever there, so they said the whole property's in the floodplain. In so doing, the document or the instrument to remove that is the LOMA situation, which requires a survey and everything to prove that the structure is out of that, and that's the only thing that's available right now. In the future, that will change. But that can be viewed on the hard copy maps that we've got, and you've seen some of those, and we're hoping the details are going to be a lot better because sometimes it's hard to decide if that's actually the property you're looking at or anything, or it can be done on the website. I do want to, I made mention to Mr. Strahan about this. You can get documentation from FEMA saying, I'm not in the floodplain. My structure is not in the floodplain. But if the finance company wants to, they can still say, we're going to require flood insurance. Just because you're not in the floodplain doesn't mean I can't require you to have that. At that particular time, it's probably good to find another finance company and everything. But I mean, they could, anybody in here, they could come today and say, we're going to require you to have earthquake insurance. And if that's their requirement for their loan, then that's what you're going to have to do, or you're going to have to find someone else.
Okay. All right, back to my concern is we've had requests from Mr. Dalton to reimburse him his cost.
Just half his cost.
Okay. I don't think that was in the motion, but anyway, half of his cost.
Well, it's his cost above and beyond what his initial, he didn't have a complaint about his initial cost. He had a complaint about whenever he had to come up with the 670 something or whatever that was added on, and that was his request, and that's the motion that was, I mean, my motion came from his request.
Okay. All right. So he's requested half of his cost.
Whatever the last one was, and that's about half, yeah.
And my concern is, as I mentioned then, that if we're going to pay one, we need to pay them all.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I would ask you, would you be willing to include all of them?
I don't know that the rest of them had to pay anything.
I can assure you that some of them have, because
yeah,
I've talked to a couple of them myself.
Right. Not knowing what their situation is, I can't say that. I just knew that we had a gentleman here that had a problem. If the others came forward with something, I would consider if they had went through the same type of situation he went through with all that, I would consider it. But, I mean, my motion was for his direct comment that he had made and the amount that he had on the second. And it was turned down, I think, because they said he had the wrong form, and when others had been proved with the same form. So, are you considering something like that, or where are you going with this?
I don't know where I'm going, except that we've had a request, and as it stands now, we didn't go anywhere with it, and we either need to approve it or to deny it one way or another. I mean, he can take it as it's denied because of what happened at the last meeting, but it's not very certain. And
I would recommend to you this. If before you open this, which could be quite lengthy, I will give you the caseworker number that you can call the caseworker for this particular file, and you can call and get the particulars from him. Why did this drag out like this? Why did he have the extra money? Did y'all make him fill out new forms? My information from that was no, they did not. Yes, they did request additional information, but it had to do with this conversion error and stuff that was made at the one time. Now, that's what she's told me, but I would give you her number, let you call and talk directly to her, and she can tell you why the additional cost was incurred.
That sounds wise.
So, I mean, up to you. But
would you be willing to do that, Danny?
I'd like to know, yeah.
I think you're going to find out that the error was made on his engineer that he hired. The extra cost was a situation between him and his engineer and not a FEMA issue. That's the research I found.
So you've looked at it already, mm-hmm. Little?
Mm-hmm. On the extra fee. Mm. The challenge you're going to have if you guys open this can of worms, the new flood maps, they're going to have drawn in there, I believe, the new minimum flow numbers, if I'm not mistaken, Eddie, if you can remember that. But they mentioned about the minimum flow numbers are going to be higher, so that means there's going to be more properties in the floodplain after the draft comes out. So if we do it now, we could be doing it then also. So it could be a very costly, because you're talking 38 applications times, say, $600. Is that not $18,000 or so, if I'm doing my math?
You didn't second my motion, so research would be appropriate.
Okay.
And I agree. I'm very hesitant. Mm-hmm. We've had all these cases before, and this is the first one that's requested reimbursement. So if Daniel research that a little bit.
I'll get in touch with
you.
You'll give me the names, and I'll call the, you said, a female.
The caseworker. I mean, Eddie.
I've got the case number, and I'm writing it down now.
Okay, and I'll do that.
Very good. Thank you. All right, we'll move on and come back and cover that as needed. Last one I also put on there, and that's payroll correction. I think both commissioners are clear about what that is. It's come before the commission through payroll approval twice. And then on, as I mentioned earlier, when we're talking about minutes, last Monday I made a motion that we asked the auditor to look up at what cost this error was. I think I'm very comfortable saying that we're looking at about a $6,000 mistake at this point. And my question for the commission is, are we going to do anything about it?
I think there has been a misunderstanding as far as the whether you consider there has been an error. I don't think that I think the news media has grabbed this and run with it without appropriate information, and I don't think there has been an error on what we requested from Mr. Houseman's duties, and he has been paid for three different jobs to do, one that pertained to Mrs. Chowning leaving at an early date, and so he had some of those duties fell upon his shoulders. Also, the legislative liaison payments, so I don't see that there's been any overpayment on this exact situation. It hadn't been brought to me with convincing enough evidence to consider it. And also, if I think Mr. Hausman is going tomorrow to the Clean Water Commission to see if we can't get $3 million more, so I assume that his work has been well worthwhile to Taney County and bringing in millions of dollars when we're discussing a possible $6,000, according to some people, error in his salary. I don't see as I don't. So far, I haven't had the evidence presented to me that shows that there is an error.
I have Jim? One question, Rick, as the auditor, has there been a mistake made?
Well, I don't believe so. I think there may have been a misunderstanding. I had an email from you around budget time that requested this change, and I probably thought that that was budget and not anything else. And if I hadn't have thought that, I think I would have got back with you and asked for something in writing, because we won't change people's salaries either up or down without something in writing or the minutes reflecting that that's happened. And so I believe probably there may have been a misunderstanding, but I don't think there have been any mistakes, really.
Okay. So. Jim, as you know, Rick made on the 18th, I believe, made a request for a payroll change. So he evidently thought there was an error, or he wouldn't have done
it. I did, and then withdrew it. I withdrew it because there was no meeting minutes. Obviously, we have to increase or decrease salary based off of motions, and we recently decreased someone's salary earlier in the year, or maybe even last fall, with a motion. And it's the only person I can think of we decreased, but it was with a motion, just like we do anybody's increase with a motion. So once I submitted the paperwork, probably out of haste, making sure, because I saw the email that I had sent to Rick and provided to you gentlemen of the communication, then went back, found no motions to actually decrease anyone's wages, so that's why I withdrew the document.
Okay. So, am I hearing we're done with this?
I'm done with this. There was no change in salary.
I never did see that there wasn't, like I said, the evidence wasn't presented to me that there ever was an error, so I didn't think it was a story to start off with.
Okay. All right. Thank you for talking it out. Other business?
Just one thing. Helen sent an email out just a few minutes ago about our tax revenues. Mm-hmm. We are down 2.9% for the month, but for the year we are less than 0.5% down. So we're basically tracking that flat over last year.
Over last year?
Over last year.
Okay.
And we're down significantly. If you look at overall over the last 4 years, we're down about 10%. I think in back in 07, we were about 10% down overall, but we're a half percent, less than a half percent down over last year.
So that's like, is that like $30,000 or something?
It is. It's actually around 30,000. 31,000.
Right.
Yep.
Other business. How about we take a couple-minute recess and then go into our weekly?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for being here.